Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, we'll get to your messages in a couple of minutes' time. 0833 97 97 97. You can that's text or WhatsApp. Email studio at kfmradio.com or you can call us on 045 898999. My opening guest this morning says the illogicality of what NAMA is doing in the midst of an unprecedented housing emergency. The minister should direct NAMA to make the following information public, and he goes through a number of issues, saying that the failure to use land owned by NAMA to resolve the housing crisis is a failure of government policy. So writes Dr. Rory Hearn, Assistant Professor in Social Policy at the Department of Applied Social Studies in Maynooth University, who has been tweeting, writing and podcasting about this extensively in recent times. Good morning, Professor Hearn. Thanks for joining us again.
Good morning. Thanks. Good to be back.
NAMA, you spell out some very significant numbers. NAMA's headquarters in Dublin, of course, €1.2 billion in funding reserves, 577 hectares of residential property land. You have a view that that could accommodate 80,000 homes. What are they doing with it then? Hoarding it, is it?
Well, yeah, it's a really interesting one because, and it's something that I have, as you said, been banging on about for years, is NAMA. And listeners, you know, they might start going, oh no, we don't want to hear about NAMA again. But NAMA, of course, as your listeners are probably aware, might remember, was set up in the wake of the crash, property crash 2009. It was set up to take the toxic loans off the banks. And essentially what it did is it took these loans off, which had loads of property and land related to it. And it basically borrowed money to buy those off the bank. And the big thing this government over the last, really since it set up over the last decade, was that it would pay down its debt that it borrowed to buy this land. NAMA did that last year. It finished. It paid back all the debt. So essentially it's now a public state agency, debt-free, that has, as you've said there, 577 hectares. Predominantly that land, we don't know exactly where it is, but if the NAMA accounts say that the land is largely in Dublin City, in North Dublin, in South Dublin County, and in the commuter belt of Dublin. So we can only assume that's, you know, Kildare, Meath, Wicklow, and possibly further, but that's predominantly, but that's a lot of land. And as I said, that land could conservatively accommodate 80,000 homes. They also still have hundreds of property. We don't know exactly how much, but they're currently on their website selling that property. These are apartments. And I counted through at least 400 homes that they are currently selling on the market. They are, we know, in one example in Finglas, there's a block of 56 apartments that they're selling. And they're looking to sell them on block to an investor fund, a cuckoo fund. And it is, we know half of those are vacant. So it seems to me, as I said in the article in The Examiner, completely illogical that we have a homelessness crisis at its most basic level, we have a housing crisis, and yet we have a state agency that is having property, holding onto property that it's letting vacant, and then selling property to investment funds who we know charge higher rents, push up the market rents. And so my question basically to the minister is, the Minister for Finance, who is responsible for NAMA, is, okay, it's time to put a pause to this. Stop the sale of the land and the property. Let's do a proper review and see how could this land and property be used to address the housing crisis rather than as it's essentially being hoarded. We know most of the land that NAMA sold, and this was, I was quite surprised to hear this. This was NAMA presented to the Public Accounts Committee just at the end of September, and they updated, they had originally given a figure back in 2016 that essentially only 5% of the land that NAMA had sold was being built on. So they were essentially selling land to private investors, developers who weren't building on it. So it was being hoarded. But they updated those figures and basically nothing has changed. That all the land that they've sold and continue to sell is simply being hoarded. And again, this is just incredible. I think in the height of the housing crisis, and I think what's really changed and why I think it's still relevant is because, as I said, one thing, NAMA paid back all its debt, so it's not this argument, oh, well, we still have to pay down the debt, so it has to, you know, maximise the money it's making from property sales. And secondly, they argue that, and they make this point that, well, we couldn't do things like, for example, not sell to cuckoo funds, or we couldn't, you know, build affordable housing on our land. We have to push for this maximum commercial viability because of the state aid rules. These are the EU rules around competition to the private sector. But I've read these state aid rules, and in partly as a result of COVID, they were essentially, there's opt-outs where states, if a state faces economic disturbance, and if during COVID the state aid rules were suspended so the state could subsidise private companies to keep them going. Both of those apply to housing. Housing is absolutely distorting our economy. It is jeopardising our economy. We can't get workers. We can't even, you know, there's an issue, will we get workers to build the homes we need to build? So it is absolutely jeopardising our economy. And it is also, as a result of COVID, we know the supply was reduced. So COVID has added to the crisis.
Right. Let me come back on some of those points. I want to go back to hoarding first, Rory, because you wrote that NAMA is hoarding the land it retains, you just stated there. And it states it has sites that could provide 11,000 units, but is not building these homes as it does not deem it commercially viable. Now, aside from the amount of land that could build all of 80,000 homes that it has, that you talk about, what does NAMA mean by it does not deem this land commercially viable? Because to me, it brings into play, what's NAMA's function? Is it to make money for the country? Or is it, as you've just been talking about there, to help alleviate what is a national crisis?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think it's kind of the fundamental point I've tried to get out through the article and through you know, what I've been highlighting is exactly that. So they have, as you said, they've in the region of, I was looking through the figures, in the region of about 1,000 units that they're actually currently building. So that's 1,000 units, 1,000 homes, I shouldn't just call them units, 1,000 homes are going to be built by NAMA in the next year or two, and they're just going to be sold on the open market. So we're going, okay, hang on a minute, you're going to sell them at inflated prices, why are they not being sold at affordable prices? But then the other point, they have about another 5,000 in either planning permission or they're getting ready for planning, and then another 5,000 again, which are on sites that they describe need infrastructure investments. You know, they need water, they need upgrading, they need additional works done. So that's the 11,000 figure. And where that comes from. And as you said, they say that a lot of that housing, they describe it as not commercially viable, which must mean that they're saying that if they were to build housing on the land, that they wouldn't get a commercial return on it. And the question is, so what price houses are they building? Because we know you can build a home for 200 or 300,000. You can build, you know, there's, so you can build it. And clearly they have the funding. So it just seems utterly illogical to me that they have, and that's where I go to the NAMA Act. And this is really important, I think. The legislation that was put in place to set up NAMA actually puts a number of mandates for NAMA. And only one of them is about this maximising the financial return.
Which the chairman of NAMA, Brendan McDonagh, says the agency has a statutory objective outlined in the NAMA Act 2009 to obtain the, what, and I quote, the best achievable financial return for the state. Now that's grand, but elsewhere you point out as well that the NAMA Act also states the agency has an objective, and I quote again, to contribute to the social and economic development of the state.
Exactly. And it is my understanding that when Fianna Fáil put in place the Act back in 2009, that that was a conscious decision, that they did consider that this wasn't just going to be something focused on fire-sailing assets, which eventually it did and, of course, brought in the cuckoo funds. But there was some thought. But what happened... So this is the point, that NAMA does have this other social and economic mandate. So the question, my question that the Minister for Finance needs to answer is how is NAMA fulfilling its objective to meet the social and economic development of the state? I would argue right now, NAMA is actually worsening the housing crisis. It is actually going against the economic and social development of our state. And I think that this is, you know, so I think that, and my point is that it has been the way in which NAMA has interpreted the Act has justified their approach up to now. And I think that there needs to be a reinterpretation by the Minister for Finance very clearly to prioritise the social and economic mandate. And what I also point out in the article is that in the Act, the Minister has the power, absolute power, to tell NAMA, to direct NAMA to do whatever he wants, and he can change its functions. So the Minister for Finance could write to NAMA today and say, we want you to prioritise your social and economic mandate. We want you to do a reassessment of every bit of property and land you have. We want to pause the sale of anything that you're doing, and we want a social and economic assessment to assess the potential contribution of everything you have to providing affordable homes.
Now, we have, on the one hand, the social crisis in this country of tens of thousands of people homeless. We have tens of thousands, or possibly hundreds of thousands of people trying to get on the housing ladder. We've all this land that has been sold that you point out that NAMA has already sold land that could have built 81,000 homes, but only 6,800 units have been built so far. In a related issue we pointed out in our newspaper review this morning, the Irish Times is reporting how land zoned for apartments for about 370 apartments later changed up to about 470, the former Chivers site, Chivers Jam site in Dublin, valued at 2.5 million in 2017, is now being put on the market at 25 million with nothing built on it so far. We have a mobile home being sold in British Bay in Wicklow for 575,000 euro, or 475,000 euro. We have people in apartments in Dublin paying 75 euro a month to keep a cat, to be allowed to keep a cat. So distorted is the market gone. And on top of all that, there is the associated issue that how are we going to attract enough workers? You're also making this point that if we don't have houses to house people, how are we going to attract and deal with the shortage of labour by bringing workers from abroad to build these houses in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the issue of, and I suppose why I wrote the article about NAMA, why I've been highlighting it, and really, I suppose, tried to get attention back on it again, is because we should be using every resource at our disposal to try and address this social crisis, everything we have. And yet we have this state agency sitting there, literally handing away our potential to solve the crisis. And the problem is every bit of land that NAMA sells now is most likely going to be hoarded, because that's what's happened up to this point. And as you said, watching, so whoever buys it, the private investor, speculator, land developer, watches the land value rise and they do nothing with it. Like, I think that's just criminal in a housing crisis. Like, I think NAMA should be immediately told to stop the sale of any land it has. And there needs to be a clear plan put in place for how affordable housing is going to be built on the land it has. The other thing you make the point about, where are we going to get the housing for the workers? Again, that's a really good point. You know, and again, if NAMA has property, we need to know how much property it has, how much of it is vacant. Could that house workers, for example, for in terms of building? But the other thing I think in terms of the capacity, and I've made this point elsewhere, is the vacant housing that we have and the derelict housing, that really we should be going after those properties, because you can bring them into use quite quickly in comparison to having to develop new homes. And there should be a real target on that in terms of potentially providing housing for workers who would build the homes we need and retrofit. But also I think we need to set up a public home building agency, a company like the ESB, you know, was set up to deliver electricity, that would hire thousands of construction workers of all the trades, of all the different types, so we would be very clear we have a guaranteed capacity to go out and build and fix our housing system.
Provided we have somewhere to house them, on the one hand, and then add into the mix now, Rory Hearn, the fact that we're hearing about the exorbitant rise in costs for building houses, the supply of materials. Just last night I spoke to a neighbour of mine who's a builder, and to just give you an indication of what's happening, and I'm sure you know this well already, he said to me, we were talking about costs in the building sector rising and how this is going to impinge on rising property prices as well. He said to me, 2 years ago, I was able to get a sheet of plywood, 8x4 plywood now, for 20 euro. A week or two ago, I spoke to a colleague who was priced at 60 euro. So there's a three times treble increase in just a sheet of plywood alone. That's spreading out into the building sector. That's going to have an impact on it as well. You make the point that you have certain questions that you want to ask the minister to release details. And one of those I wouldn't be aware of, and maybe you just briefly discuss it. Are NAMA receivers actually evicting tenants as well?
Yeah, this is something that research I have done on homelessness and trying to understand, you know, our level of homelessness in Ireland and why it's so high and why we've seen such an increase in recent years. And one of the things that I came across was this issue of receivers who are appointed to, for example, if a property goes into mortgage arrears and the bank looks to repossess it, or these what are called these buy-to-let mortgages, where people took out loans in the Celtic Tiger, mortgages just to build a rental property. And these, it's called buy-to-let, essentially buy-to-rent. This was in the Celtic Tiger years, that essentially when that goes into arrears and the bank goes to repossess the property, or in the case of NAMA, where they take a developer or someone who owns a significant amount of property, they take it into their control, and then they appoint a receiver who is a company, various companies, receivers, who then go and basically they're given an objective by either NAMA or the bank to told, okay, we want you to, for example, increase the rent, or we want you to make the property vacant and then, you know, sell it. So the receiver takes control of that process. And so we know that from my research that there was a significant number of evictions taking place from property that had receivers appointed to it, because they were evicting them to sell the property to then basically get the debt paid off. So my question is, and we don't know, but I can only assume that if NAMA is appointing receivers, which it does, to its property that it has, that those receivers are likely to be evicting tenants in order to sell the property to maximise the commercial return that NAMA is supposed to be, that NAMA is prioritising.
And speaking about maximising, final point, Dr. Rory Hearn, speaking about this maximising of prices and land value and everything else, should it not be a stipulation that any land sold off, or any land, I should say, for which receives planning permission, that there be a strict stipulation that unless that land is built on, this is land where people, like I'm talking about, like in Dublin now, where planning permission for apartments went in 2017 and nothing has been built in it since, and now it's put back on the market. Should there not be a stipulation right across the planning process that where planning permission is granted, that there be a term of time set that unless the actual building takes place, the planning permission drops?
Absolutely, yeah, I think so. Because we know that developers, land speculators are putting in, going through that planning process simply to add value to the land, sit on the land, then watch the price rise and then sell it again. And unfortunately, the changes in legislation around the build-to-rent regulations, which are essentially reduced the requirement of apartment sizes and are all allowing all rental property, so there's no requirement on home ownership or mix, has made land even more attractive to investors and investment funds. And we have seen, as you described earlier, developers changing planning permission to this new build-to-rent regulations, and then the price of land going up even further because we have this huge global money trying to come in here and invest and make as much money as possible off our housing system. So, like, we have this ultimate, we have an utter, as you describe it, like, our housing system is utterly broken. It has gone out of control. Like, there is emergency measures needed to try and, I actually believe there's house caps. Caps are needed on house prices. I think that the investment funds need to be paused. They need to be taxed properly. We need to use things like NAMA to actually accelerate the provision of affordable homes. We need to tackle vacancy, dereliction. There is a lot we could be doing right now, But each day it goes on, it is getting that much worse, and we're hearing so many human crises of the human stories of the crisis. Mm-hmm. But I think that really, the more, you know, it's great to get this opportunity to talk about it. The more we talk about it and the more we highlight these solutions, I think we will put pressure on government to actually make some real changes.
All right. I see on your Twitter, you say, I wrote this article in NAMA, and in 2014, yes, 7 years ago, we've had six housing ministers since. The reality is that NAMA is playing a significant role in worsening housing crisis through its sale of assets to real estate investment trusts, otherwise known as REITs. And you can hear a lot more on this particular topic, because Dr. Rory Hearn has a very engaging podcast, which he regularly has up on his Twitter page, at Rory Hearn, which is called At Reboot Pod. That's a capital REBOOT, capital POD.
It's Reboot Republic is the name of the podcast.
Is it? Okay.
Reboot Republic. So that's just the Twitter name of it. And people can listen to it on Spotify or wherever. So it's Reboot Republic. And as you said, we cover all the housing issues and inequality and solutions. I try to focus on solutions because that's important. Yeah. I think we need to give people a sense of hope. We don't want the housing crisis to turn out like the health one, where people just feel nothing can be done.
And it goes on and on and on and on. It reminds me of Parkinson's law, time expanding to fill the work allocated, or work expanding to fill the time allocated, in reverse or whatever else. It's on and on, is right. Dr. Rory Hearn is Assistant Professor in Social Policy at the Department of Applied Social Studies at Maynooth University, a regular commentator on radio, television, in newspapers like that article in The Examiner, and indeed on his podcast as well, on his Twitter page. You can find out more. Rory, great talking to you. Thanks for that analysis.
You too. Thanks.
Appreciate
so
your time, and good morning to you. Okay, I suppose on all of that and the pressure and stress that the housing market brings on people, I suppose it is the right time to have a little mental health moment.
The Mental Health Minute from KFM and the HSE.
There are loads of things that make us feel a bit anxious from time to time, like an empty phone battery or a full work schedule or Christmas decorations in September. What's that all about? My point is, it's perfectly normal to feel anxious sometimes, but if you experience ongoing anxiety that's affecting your everyday life, it can have a serious impact. One of the best things you can do is try and identify times and things that make you anxious and try and do less of them. Equally, find things that help you de-stress, like exercising or just relaxing, and try to do more of those. Don't forget to talk to friends or family, because nothing helps as much as reaching out and talking about how you're feeling. Whatever you're going through, you can always find trusted information on a range of mental health supports and services at yourmentalhealth.ie or through the 24-hour Your Mental Health information line on 1800 111 888. I think my battery's about to...
The battery's gone. Indeed. There you have a nice little bit of advice. Could we wish a happy 50th birthday, by the way, to a former Kildare manager, Geezer, Mr. McGeaney, who was 50 yesterday and still going strong with Armagh. You know, when you consider that the success he had with Kildare, bringing them to finals and All-Ireland quarter-finals and stuff, was it even a semi-final back? Was it as far back as 2010 that disputed down point happened, when it was punched into the bay? What was that player's name again? Just escaped me. Somebody will tell me about that. Benny Coulter. Come on, Owen Beattie. How do you know that, Owen Beattie?
Because I was there. I was up at the match. I was here shouting and roaring at you here from Studio 2. Yeah, I was up at that game. And I remember Rob Kelly as well had a free right on the 21-yard line with the last kick of the game.
Rob from Strathfin,
yeah. And he hit the crossbar from 21
yards.
That's
right, he did. With half the down team lining the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could have just, the crossbar separated that from it. Was that a semi-final?
A semi-final, yeah. And Cork were in the final. They won it in the end. Down went on to play Cork in the final that year in 2010.
Hard to believe, isn't it, that 10 years have gone by since that game. 11 years gone by since that game. That was 2010. But anyway, Mr. McGeaney, I was 50 years of age yesterday. And by the way, news also this morning, well, it broke last night on Twitter, where, you know, Keane O'Neill, again, wasn't offered, if I'm correct in this, he wasn't offered another term as Kildare senior football manager. Yet Keane O'Neill has served with the Mayo footballers, the Tipperary hurlers, the Cork footballers in the last year or so, and now he has been picked up by the Galway football management team. Pádraig Joyce has invited him onto his management team. Yet another example of people who were, you know, dispensed with in the county and maybe be proving success or giving their expertise elsewhere. But we wish Glenn the very, very best of luck. His ratification and the management team will be confirmed at the county board meeting tonight. Liam Hines in Milane in Leixlip says, I was reading in the Liffey Champion about Glenn Ryan's contract. He got it for 3 years. Well, it's not been ratified until tonight. And wait for the confidence the Kildare board have in him. It will be reviewed after the end of every year. That does not show much confidence, says Liam, in this manager. Also, there was no stipulation like that that in the Kerry man that Upton walked away. If I was a football manager, says Liam, I wouldn't like the hangman's noose over my neck every year. I think he deserves better than this. Thank you, Clem Owen and Kira, for your wonderful daily show. I love it. Thank you, Liam, for that. I suppose, look, it's a normal thing in this day and age. They're not saying they'll fire him after a year or anything else. It's all contracts get reviewed on an annual basis. Keep your messages coming.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Patsy Troy in Leixlip has sent me a beautiful photograph of sunset outside her house yesterday evening up there in Leixlip. She's previously sent me photographs of the kind of sunrise they have as well. Patsy, I think you've aliens hovering over in, you know, spacecraft and stuff like that, because those skies are certainly biblical or alien-like in relation to that. But thanks anyway for the lovely photograph. Regarding the Chivers jam, Clem is correct, snowflakes. Trying to change everything. It's not Cheevers or Chivers, right? Clem, you're right with the pronunciation, says Maria. Mary as well said, is it true that Ireland is the only EU country that has banned cutting peat? I don't know, Mary. I can't tell you that. Clem, Kira is right. Google on how to pronounce Chivers, and it states clearly Chivers with the emphasis on the letter I. Chivers. Well, Google is wrong. Can I just tell you straight that, Tom? So maybe you'd have a word with him anyway. Breda says, don't forget 90% of the homeless in the country are not Irish. It shouldn't be put on the shoulders of the Irish taxpayers. Breda, where did you come up with that statistic? That's nonsense. Clem, there are lots of Chinese whispers about land sold by NAMA in various places, with land never entering the market but brought back by the original sellers. Can you ask me if there's any can you ask Mr. Hearn if there's any transparency to NAMA? Well, I think you heard widely what he had to say, his views on it anyway. And finally, for the moment, please wish our granddad Jim Brady a big happy birthday from grandchildren Sive, Mirren and CJ. Looking forward to dinner on Sunday, Jim. Grandfathers are for loving and fixing things. You're a young granddad, only 65. Indeed he is.
Now we are heading over to the Athy Municipal District. Labour Councillor Aoife Breslin is on the line. Good morning, Aoife.
Morning, Ciara. How are we doing?
I'm okay, thank you. We're going to begin. You have asked the council to carry out remedial works on the footpaths and the back roads in William Pierce Terrace. That's in Castledermot. And as part of the upgrading works, that additional public lighting be installed. Are they in a particularly bad way, Aoife?
So look, it's an old housing estate, and look, before we start, can I just say the amount of work that goes on by the Residents Association in that estate is fantastic. I don't know if you had been to visit it, but I mean, they have a community centre and everything there. It is an old estate, it's there a long time, it's been some years since any remedial works were carried out to the footpaths. The back lanes are in need of resurfacing and some drainage work in it, and the lighting is the old style lighting, so it's quite poor. So, you know, really at this stage we need to be looking at the older estates, and I'm starting with William Pierce Terrace in Castledermot, and that's my first campaign.
And what did the council respond to you when you did ask that?
I did get a very favourable reply. You know, a survey will have to be carried out, and the area office is going to do that. I've also spoken with the lighting section in Kildare County Council, and they're going to start a survey in the coming weeks in relation to it, and then we will sit down and see what works we can do. So I'm extremely hopeful that early next year we will be able to do works in this area.
Okay, then moving on to an estate in Athy, St Dominic's Park, you've asked the council to also confirm when the remedial works to the back lanes will begin there.
Yeah. I think the topic this month for me was back lane somewhat. This is something that I've been following for a number of months. This work was to be carried out in the summer, but look, due to restrictions and manpower and stuff, it hasn't been carried out. Unfortunately, As you know, responder building much needed social housing in the area. There has been another slight delay in relation to it because a cable for electric cable has to be laid in one of the back lanes, and until that is finished and done, we won't be able to commence doing the remedial work. Now, I expect that only to last a couple of weeks. I don't think it's not going to push us into next year.
So literally 2 or 3 weeks?
Well, Ciara, I will be nagging the area office. I'm good at it.
Well, God love him. So you've also asked the council about the public lighting in Dunbrin, also in Athy.
Yeah, there's a slight issue. A number of people have come to me, and particularly the Dunbrin residents, in relation to problems with lighting. There seems the estate is taken in charge, but lighting may not be of the standard that it really should be. And there's some areas that are very dark in it, and there's also a slight problem with trees, lights being in the middle of trees, which is not good at all.
Okay.
So look, again, a survey is going to be done of that, and hopefully we'll be able to move that on. And can I just say one thing? Today is a very, very special day in Athy. Finally, the contract for the SDR has been signed today in May, and it's a big, big day for Athy. And like, there's been a lot of people over the years that thought this road wouldn't be delivered.
Aoife, just before you go on to the road, just in terms of the public lighting, obviously it's getting darker now this time of year. So how long would it be that people, residents, would be waiting?
Well, again, look, there's a public lighting, the public lighting efficiency project is being carried out, and estates are being surveyed as part of that, and that's been done by the public lighting system in Kildare County Council. So, you know, there will be a report from that, and from that they will decide on what estates have to be done first and what areas have to be done.
Right, but as residents probably, as you know yourself, it's this time of year that they need the lighting, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. But, I mean, look, you know, we have to go through the procedures. There is a system, and Dunbrin will be part of that system.
Okay, well, Councillor Aoife Breslin of Labour, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Ciara.
Thank you, Ciara and Aoife Breslin there with that news. Good news for Athy indeed that contract has been signed for that road. It's on the go about 40 years, I'd say at least. Aoife Breslin would have been in nappies when the original plan for that would have been brought up. So a big, big day. So time to get the machinery out now. And speaking, by the way, of roads and stuff like that, Owen, let's have a look at the traffic scenario there and what's going on at the moment.
Yeah, traffic's still heavy on the M7 heading northbound. That's as a result of that crash just outside Johnstown Garden Centre. It's past exit 9 on the M7, and traffic now backed up. Still around the same place that we were talking about at the Monreed Road, Millennium Park there, and that's having a knock-on effect in Sallins, with people trying to get off the motorway and heading into Sallins and indeed into Naystown Centre as well. Clane is quite busy there on the main street in both directions, and coming in from Butter Stream, that would be along the road there where the primary school and the secondary schools are as well. In Selbridge, it's heavy in both directions, as it is in Maynooth, particularly around the Maynooth University there and coming in at the Glen Royal Hotel. And again, that has a knock-on effect then in Kilcock on the main street where traffic is heavy there.
So the motorway at the moment, if anybody's on that, by the way, of course, not while driving, if anybody's caught in the tail back there, they might let us know. Text or WhatsApp 0833 97 97 97, because what we're still seeing is that there's a considerable traffic is very, very slow in that area just beyond Millennium Park, heading past the Tesco Extra McDonald's area of the motorway and up along beyond the business park that's there as well. That's the Globe Retail Park, if I give it its correct name. It has got a bit smaller in terms of the tailback, but let us know. 0833 97 97 97.